When Ibsen's Ghosts was first seen in 1882, it caused a sensation, and along with his previous play, A Doll's House, rips the lid off 19th century marriage and morality to uncover dark and sordid secrets. Hello, I'm Fiona Gruber, and to find out more about the great man's enduring popularity and influence, I caught up with Denise Varney, Associate Professor of English and Theatre Studies at the University of Melbourne. As she reveals, when the play first went on in London, the critics of the time did not hold back.
Repulsive, revoltingly suggestive, morbid, unhealthy, unwholesome, putrid, loathsome, foul and filthy, and claimed it suffered from noisome corruption. Now, given that women were very interested in Ibsen's plays, the male critics were highly critical of it. And so this was a debate that took place in the daily newspapers and in magazines. But this public debate was largely held by the men who still had the kind of public intellectual voice.
What makes Ibsen the kind of father of realist theatre?
Okay, well, Ibsen was a firebrand playwright who really felt that the theatre society that he grew up in, or the theatre culture that he grew up in, was stagnant, whereas the other art forms, music, literature in particular, especially the novel, had really taken on some of the important social issues. Ibsen wasn't the only reformer. Certainly Emile Zola in the mid-19th century called for a new form of theatre that would speak to contemporary people, contemporary characters, contemporary issues. Chekhov was another, and there were many others as well in the modern period. But Ibsen really became very popular in his own lifetime. He was a prolific playwright, and he enjoyed the wide success and, of course, enormous criticism. He's a playwright who published his plays before they were actually staged, and so his plays are published as literature. And that's a shift also where drama starts to be a written form before it's a performance form, a theatrical form. And I think that's quite an interesting shift that happens with Ibsen.
So really Ibsen is creating a theatrical debate that people could read on the page and, bring up at dinner parties if they were impolite enough. Because, of course, the kind of things he's talking about, illegitimacy, incest, venereal disease, even today you don't kind of like gaily say to someone, hey, so-and-so's got syphilis and their kids have inherited it and he's bonking his half-sister. I mean, you don't say things like that. You just never mentioned anything under the skirts, did you?
Well, that's very interesting you should say that, because you hear anecdotal stories that Ibsen, and especially his plays, were banned at dinner party conversations because there would be an enormous gender divide. And also in Ibsen's plays it was said that, you could hear a pin drop because women in particular were just overwhelmed by the kind of female characters that they could suddenly identify with.
You always think of Ibsen's women over Ibsen's men. Why was he so keen to highlight the role of women in the domestic life and how they fitted into the social life?
In a sense, women were in the process of becoming subjects. They were in the process of becoming individuals. And their struggle to become individuals and their struggle to identify as human beings rather than subordinated creatures is really the big story of the late 19th century. And so the women's issue is immensely interesting, immensely frightening, immensely dramatic, immensely challenging for the population. This was a thrilling moment. This is European women finding their voice, being given a stage in which to speak.
Ibsen expected his women to be very brave, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, so, well, certainly with Nora. Nora is very brave and she's given the spirit and she's given the personality and the character to be able to make that step and to suddenly see through the doll's house as a facade. Ibsen said, after Nora, Mrs. Alving had to come. And I think that's an interesting statement, and I think that we can interpret that as Nora and Mrs. Alving being two sides of the same question, the woman who has the moral courage. And, of course, we don't know what happens to Nora after she leaves her husband. That's a very open question. And then we have the contrast, Mrs. Alving, who continues to live the lie of the secure, happy, righteous bourgeois family, and she is made to suffer terribly for her lack of courage.
I think it's really interesting looking at Scandinavia at that time. You had Norway was still sort of under the yoke of Sweden. Do you think that Ibsen was using the domestic as a metaphor for the national in terms of the suppression of the Norwegians by the Swedes who had kind of colonised them?
Oh, that's a great question. There's a lot to be said for that. And certainly the female as the subordinated gender in bourgeois society then stands for the Norwegian state. And so Mrs. Alving and Nora's struggles then are the struggles of the Norwegian nation, wrestling with the cost, wrestling with the ways in which they might liberate themselves from the oppressor. And of course, Pastor Mendes and then Torvald in A Doll's House then stand for colonial, patriarchal, imperialist power. I'm not suggesting that Ibsen consciously characterised them that way, but that reading is quite a legitimate and common way of reading those plays.
I didn't realise until I was looking into it that, in fact, Ibsen's son, Sigurd Ibsen, became Prime Minister of Norway. He was the man who, the politician, who drove independence for Norway. He was always worried he wasn't going to live up to his father's expectations. So, I mean, it remains a really popular play. It's just been on in London. What is it about Ibsen that keeps him so fresh for each generation of directors, producers and actors who come along?
Well, firstly, I think that realism is a very compelling dramatic form. Its intensity, its connection with real human beings living in a real place, having real events take place in their lives, is enormously compelling. Ibsen's plays are very well structured. They move very quickly. Some say that, you know, there's a great condensation of time in Ibsen's plays. For example, in Ghosts, Oswald's arrival and decline and fall takes place all in one day. So that level of intensity is really absorbing for audiences. And I think that directors really enjoy the challenge of creating that intensity and actually working with actors to produce the realism, the authenticity, the truth in the representation. The language is often updated. Each director now tends to make their own production, and I noticed that Gail Edwards has made a new translation of the play for her production. Richard Eyre made a new translation for the recent British production. Designers enjoy, of course, designing the sets. Edvard Munch designed the sets for one of the early Ghosts in Europe. And so each time the plays are performed, they are revivified by the companies. The language is made new, and that makes it very, very modern still.
Denise Voigny, thanks very much indeed for talking to Melbourne Theatre Company about Ghosts.
That's my pleasure. Thanks very much, Fiona.
And Melbourne Theatre Company's production of Ibsen's Ghosts, directed by Gail Edwards, opens on the 17th of May and runs until the 21st of June. It's on at Southbank Theatre, the Sumner, and you can book online at mtc.com.au or by phoning 03 8688 0800.